go. Call 400 or visit your nearest Liquid Telecom outlet to get started. Liquid data on the go. Now that's speed. Terms and conditions apply.
The Hot FM main news.
Good afternoon. The top stories at 12 hours. Government completes feasibility studies for Kapiri Mposhi Dry Port Project. CSOs urge to diversify donor funding amid global shifts. And Tigray Party says ban threatens Ethiopia peace deal.
The Hot FM News with Natasha Mooney.
And now the news in detail. Minister of Transport and Logistics Frank Tayali has announced the completion of feasibility studies for the Kapiri Mposhi Dry Port project and that consultations with key stakeholders are currently underway. Mr. Tayali has disclosed that land for the project has been secured and that preliminary designs are already in place. Speaking during a meeting with a visiting delegation from the People's Republic of China, the minister has highlighted the importance of strategic infrastructure collaboration with particular emphasis on the development of the Kapiri Mposhi Dry Port. He has noted that the ministry is now focused on finalizing partnerships to enable the phased implementation of the project. Mr. Tayali has also expressed his gratitude to the Chinese delegation for their continued interest in Zambia's economic development, especially in the transport and logistics sector. He has emphasized that the Kapiri Mposhi Dry Port project is aimed at enhancing trade efficiency by alleviating port congestion and improving inland logistics systems. Local Government and Rural Development Minister Gift Siyavalo has urged mayors and council officials to enhance local revenue mobilization and prioritize service delivery beyond political affiliations. Speaking in Lusaka, during a high-level engagement with mayors, council chairpersons and other council officials from all parts of the country, Mr. Siyavalo has expressed concern over underperformance in councils like Chinyazongwe, Lusaka, Chingola, Chilawombwe and others where potential revenue from mining and other economic activities remains untapped. He has emphasized that councils must create and enforce bylaws to claim a fair share of local income sources, seeing the funds disbursed by the Ministry of Finance originate from citizens and must be used transparently.
My point of view is to make sure that data is still for them by doing what is right. The limited system will come once we improve our fight in terms of revenue points. We shall make sure that the ministry will start identifying opportunities in all the local points. One, we want the community to benefit. Two and three that want to decide. I'm taking seriously the overstand that has been raised by local government associations that if an assurance may come into the way, if an assurance may increase the benefit.
And echoing the minister's concerns, Ministry Permanent Secretary Dr. Gabriel Polin has disclosed that over 405 million kwacha and CDF funds remain unused in council accounts, warning that failure to utilize such funds within 48 hours of disbursement may result in disciplinary action.
We have issued a circular to remind the local authorities to ensure that the expedited utilization of CDF funds and indeed any other funds that we receive. The Ministry of Finance has also technically indicated that they would not release any additional resources if their resources sitting idly in their account. To that end, we have also encouraged the local authorities to ensure that once they receive funds, they have 48 hours to spend that money, and if they don't, then they will need to provide a satisfactory explanation.
Family Development Initiative Executive Director Yusuf Ayami has urged civil society organizations, CSOs, to diversify their sources of donor funding in light of the evolving global funding environment, particularly shifts in support from the United States. Speaking at the Capacity to Strengthen CSOs networking event held last evening, Mr. Ayami has encouraged CSOs to explore alternative funding avenues, including government partnerships, private sector engagement, and philanthropic support to ensure long-term sustainability. He has also emphasized the importance of networking and collaboration among civil society organizations, noting that such partnerships allow CSOs to leverage their collective strengths, align on shared goals, and benefit from shared leadership and experience.
There is opportunity in calamity. Consortium approaches help us diversify funding. Multiple members can tap different donor streams that include government, the private sector, philanthropy, reducing dependence on any single source. And some challenges we face, poverty, inequality, gender-based violence, climate change, are too complex of problems for any one organization to solve alone. By working together, either in consortia, we bring multiple strengths to bear, grassroots insights, policy advocacy.
And Jesuit Center for Theological Reflection, JCTR, Deputy Director Boyd Miranda, has stressed that strong collaboration among CSOs are essential to achieving common objectives, advocating for meaningful change, and holding duty bearers accountable.
Amplify our collective impact among the people we serve. I therefore urge all of us to utilize this platform to share best practices, identify areas of collaboration, and work together to amplify our impact. Collaboration is key to our success as CSOs. By uniting our efforts, we can form a robust collective that effectively advocates for change and holds duty bearers accountable. Such solidarity not only amplifies our impact, but also ensures that our shared goals.
Meanwhile, People in Need Country Coordinator Stefania Laganegro has highlighted the critical role CSOs play in safeguarding democratic values and promoting inclusive development.
Civil society organizations play a vital role in safeguarding democratic values, promoting social justice, and amplifying the voices of the community, especially those that are often overlooked. In Zambia's civic space, CSOs are not only service providers and advocates, but also watchdogs, bridge builders, and agents of change. In a time when civic engagement is more critical than ever, your work in holding institutions accountable, promoting human rights, and driving inclusive development.
Access Bank Zambia has today officially handed over the refurbished maternity wing, DO3, at the University Teaching Hospital in Lusaka, following renovations valued at 350,000 kwacha. The gesture reaffirms the bank's commitment to improving maternal health care in the communities it serves. Speaking at the handover ceremony, Access Bank Managing Director Lishala Sumbeko has stated that the refurbishment works address several critical needs, including plumbing repairs, electrical maintenance, painting, installation of new curtains for patient privacy, and the provision of new chairs to both patients and healthcare workers. Mr. Sumbeko has noted that this year's support is particularly meaningful as a team of Access Bank staff from the corporate communications, financial control, strategy, legal, and administration departments voluntarily raised additional funds to procure the much-needed items such as bedding, pillows, and cleaning materials to enhance the comfort and hygiene of the facility.
This year was really unique for us because what we did now is over and above the support that the bank is putting in. Our members of staff also came together, right? We had the various departments, our legal departments, our finance departments, our communications department, the whole team that year. What that was really meant to do is that I think this is a commitment which is coming directly from our hearts, not just a commitment that's coming in at the corporate level, but we as individuals also see, the impact. We need to see the impact of what we do.
Meanwhile, Women and Newborn Hospital Head of Clinical Care, Dr. Agupa Lungu, has revealed that the hospital conducts approximately 10 annually, with almost half requiring cesarean sections. Dr. Lungu has attributed the high rate of cesarean deliveries